We are back in the door. Goodness gracious me.
Back Lord, in the building.
Will you help me, Lord? I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I've got issues. And I'm just looking at certain things online at this moment. What is going on in the church in the UK? I cannot believe it. This subject that we're talking about, you know, the victory is won on our knees. Prayer is so, so needed for the church, individuals, me, you, Simon, every one of us. You've got to get yourself across. We're back in part two. Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. Simon, come on, take us to the scripture. I've got to get this out of my head.
Well, we're talking about individual prayer. We're talking about strengthening our spirit through individual prayer.
I need
individual
it.
Individual communication.
I need this.
We're talking about getting some spiritual discipline in
come
our
on,
life.
Jesus.
Because, you know, I have guys call me and say, oh, will you mentor me? I go, okay, but what's your prayer life like? Well, I don't really have time. Well, what about, are you calling scriptures out over your life? No. I haven't got time. What time do you get up? Well, sometimes I get up at this time. There's no discipline there.
What are you doing Saturday? I'm going to watch
football.
I don't
like to call it discipline. I like to call it scheduling or whatever. It's discipline. We need to get spiritual discipline in our life because it comes from our role model, Jesus Christ. Look at this. Mark 1:35, Ben. It says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So if you've got Jesus Christ
getting up the crack of dawn,
going to a solitary place, if you've got Jesus Christ doing that, going to a solitary place,
exactly,
taking himself out of the daily grind, then ain't it good enough for us to do that? We've got to find somewhere. David, we've got to be careful with this, but David Wilkinson called it the private closet, didn't it? So we have to be careful.
Yeah, because the church is allowing the private closet to happen before our very eyes.
And I listened to Pastor Tindall, and he said that David Wilkinson used to, because he's only had a small apartment, he used to get himself fully clothed and go into the bathroom and lie in the bathtub for a couple of hours, because that was the only place he could get away. But we, you know, get up a little bit earlier, but get up. You cannot pray lying in bed.
No, because it's comfy and it's warm. Thank you, Jesus, for my duvet. Lord, I love the central heating in the name of Jesus.
What's that joke? You know, Lord, I feel good about myself today because I haven't sinned today. I haven't had any bad thoughts. But then I haven't got out of bed yet. You know, so
I'm still tucked up in the duvet.
It's no good.
Get up and get moving.
If you personally, I get up, as soon as I get up, on my face, praying. I'm not a big, massive prayer, but I go through things that need to be prayed through. I go through the giving the Lord glory, confessing stuff, asking him for stuff, and praying for people, you know, in my life, and saying a few scriptures. You know, you don't have to be a long, big prayer, but it needs to start the day off, because it's, you know, this is the day the Lord had made.
Yeah.
You know, we'll start it all off.
Amen.
You know, there's weeping in the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's what the Bible says.
That's what the word says. Prayer is the key. Do you know what? This is a great subject, you know. Simon's talking about getting up, getting out. And I'm just looking at this scripture that he read out for your reference. You know where we are. We're in Mark chapter 1, 35. There's so much to get from this, but what interests me for this moment, Jesus lived in a house. When you think about this as well, Jesus got up and he left the house. He went to a solitary place. We're not, you know, you look at the scripture and you tell what the scripture says, but we got to bring this to an understanding. Jesus, fully God, fully man, fully king, fully savior of the world, but he lived in a house. He didn't live in a mansion. He didn't live in a house that was, you know, like we see on these celebrity church leaders, that Jesus lived in an ordinary house with his mum, because he was the head of the house because his dad died.
Jesse Duplantis has got a 35,000 square foot mansion. No,
that's tiny, isn't it?
You would, and Jesus would get lost in that, wouldn't he?
You'd
never see him again. No, he got up, he went out.
He lived in a house.
Didn't disturb anybody. He got out, he prayed to his father. Now, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us, Ben, because...
Go to the solitary place. Find a place of stillness. Find a place where you can just take a few moments. And you know that Jesus wouldn't have been doing all these mantras and all that. He would have prayed through the word. He would have used the word. He would have spoke to the Father from his heart, you know.
Yeah, he wouldn't have gone, Father, bind these people and no...
In the name.
In my name, bind these people, no. But he just simply says, prayed. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be
loosed in heaven.
You don't... Oh. Personally, look, we know there's certain cultures that love to shout and holler, the Lord
Jesus didn't shout.
He's deaf.
Jesus didn't shout.
Our Heavenly Father's not deaf, is he? You know,
the Bible says when you look at Jesus' persona and the way his character, he was a quiet, gentle man. So when he prayed, he would have prayed gently and quietly. He wouldn't have jumped up and making whips and shouting and smashing the devil with words. He would have just...
No.
What did he say? It is... written.
That's all. He didn't say, Father, bind this, you know, no.
Jumping up and down, you know, making chaos. And he didn't have no, interesting, he didn't have no worship around him.
There was no
organist or someone coming up when the message is finishing and bringing in a bit of an atmosphere, you know, as it all goes.
The smoke machine.
Jesus didn't have no smoke machines. He didn't have no musicians.
Skinny jeans or anything like that.
He just went into the wilderness. He went to the garden. He went maybe to the end of his garden. He just went to a solitary place and he just prayed.
This is the man that... You know, if he'd have called down 12 legions of angels, he could have done it quite easily.
He actually didn't need to pray. When you think about this, he put himself out to be the model for us to follow.
Totally.
He did not need to pray. So when you think about it, no one has prayed on earth like Christ. But he actually didn't need to pray because he is God. And you know what we're saying. When you actually theologically look at all this stuff, he is the living word of God.
So that his prayer, the Lord's prayer that he gave us...
It's dynamite.
It's beautiful, but it gets so ignored, doesn't it, Ben?
It does. And you imagine this, if you all said, like, we're going to have a prayer meeting today, what we're going to pray for, what we're going to do is that we're all going to sit around and we're just going to, in our own time, one after another, we feel strong enough to do it and we don't feel embarrassed. What we're going to do is we're just going to read the Lord's Prayer out and we're just going to listen to the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to deep dive into spiritual warfare. We're just going to sit around in the church, relaxed.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, I did it.
I tell you what, the demons have flee.
Well, I did it once. When I was with a ministry, we used to meet up every Tuesday evening, all men, and you could cut the testosterone and ego with a knife sometimes, bang. You know. So I just said, you know, to the leader, I said, why don't we just go through the Lord's Prayer? And he sort of went... Well,
it's not man enough.
It's not, you know, but we did, and we couldn't stop because once you start, you know, it just opens up. See, but the problem is, Ben, churches and ministries have replaced prayer, haven't they?
Yeah, because man has come up with his 101 prayer scenarios.
Even people are, and we love you to download and listen to what we do, but even people have replaced prayer with podcast, Ben. They've replaced prayer with YouTube. They've replaced it.
Like, there's a book up on that shelf, Simon.
Books.
Well, you know, you look on that shelf up there, and I've got one up there, just many of them over the years, Prayer Rain. And when you go through that Prayer Rain, and it's written by a certain cultural man, you can get yourself into quite an unusual area of witchcraft and divination. You really have to watch what you are saying.
That's interesting because I just looked at that and I was led to. I've got loads of books.
Yeah.
That you know, I've never even read most of them, but I got a couple of books and it was Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth. Right. And when I started reading it, it was all of that. Almost, as you quite rightly said, you know, real bring it on demonic, you know,
and it is
stuff.
Because when you look at that great prophet Elijah, when he was at Mount Carmel with the false prophets and all that, when you look at what they were doing, he said, call down fire, call down the fire of your God. So chanting and praying is on both sides of the cross. So that's why Christ has given us the Lord's Prayer. I'm telling you, brother and sister, Ben and Simon, we're telling ourselves today, I ain't going to go and look for another prayer book, what I got to do is go to the Gospel now, wherever you are, Google on your phone, the Lord's Prayer, print it off and put it on the back of your wardrobe, put it wherever you go, leave it on in your car, have it in your briefcase, have it, you know, get the Lord's Prayer. You haven't got to get to a prayer meeting. You don't need another man delivering you. You just sit where you are on the scaffold and you read the Lord's Prayer. What a prayer.
I'm telling you.
Freedom. Freedom from everything.
Read it, but try and memorize it.
And get it in your spirit.
And say it over your life every day and mean it, you know. And it's just an amazing, because we have prayerless churches. We have prayerless ministries. We have prayerless people, Ben. And they're an easy target for the enemy.
Because it puts so much weight and emphasis on worship. Now, worship is powerful when it's scriptural. So worship and prayer go together. But when I've got more worship without prayer, who am I worshipping and what are the words that I'm singing? So there's a fine line in everything we do. When you want to know how to worship, you see what the scripture says about worship. Paul and Silas, they worship the eternal God through psalms and supplication and prayer. So I've got to be careful. If the church that I attend has everything higher up the list than the prayer meeting, I've got to analyze it. If the denomination...
Check the church. Same. Check the church has got prayer meetings.
What the denomination praying for? What is the denomination praying? A powerful denomination will be a key point. The key central point will be prayer. Prayer.
If you've
prayer.
Got a praying church, then you'll hear from God in which direction he wants your church to go in, right?
Yeah.
And we all do it because we look at the church around the corner. How are they getting so many?
Why are they? What's attractive?
Seem to be so successful, and so well. Are they doing this, that, and the other? Well, we'll adopt that model. Well, no, because and the big thing, I think, you know, you've come to terms with it here in your
sunny Vegas, Vegas Swanley,
where you get one man and his dog attending.
Yeah, we get one man and his dog, and that's all we get.
No, but I'm only teasing. No, but you've now, you're ditching you're ditching a lot of social media.
Simon,
you're getting all of that out of the way.
I must decrease.
But you're preaching the word of God.
Yeah.
You're preaching from the Bible. You're preaching that, you know, you're not looking and forming a meeting group and having a CEO that's going to say, oh, yeah, we need to do this, we need to do that.
No,
we need to hear from God. Which direction does he want?
Yeah.
This is his church. It ain't my church. It don't belong to anyone else.
It don't belong to William. It belongs to God. This is the Lord's house.
And the term, Ben, you know what I'm saying, and our listeners should know this. Is loose hands.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got to hold things with loose hands.
You've got to, completely.
And as we're praying, if the Lord says let it go, then we let it go, because obedience is key.
Yes.
And we just got to let it go. We can't hang on to anything.
No. What we've seek the Lord here for is, Lord, let this be a praying church. Let this be a church that prays. Pray and pray and pray, and we're not far short of getting a prayer meeting every day, you know. And we're not bigging ourselves up, but what we're saying is, one thing that we know is that prayer is the key. Prayer is the boiler room. Prayer is the point, you know. Nothing else. It has to be prayer. Silent prayers, not, you know, sitting in the stillness, just gathering around a cross, taking communion together. And you know what, when you pray together, you start to see the real character before you, because you're raw before each other. You're raw before the Lord. Prayer opens your heart.
If you're in individual prayer and then you come together for communal prayer, that's powerful, Ben.
It is.
See, the individual prayer, you've got an individual time with the Lord where you're going through, you know, praising him, but going searching your heart to bring before him what's maybe
bring it to the cross.
Unholy. So you bring it across. But with communal prayer, you ain't bringing all your stuff, because you're praying.
Frightened. And you could be frightened as well.
Yeah.
So what a prayer meeting does, when you meet together, you become, I won't say vulnerable, you become accountable to each other. And you start to pray safely without, because the church is very good at having false prayer meetings.
Well,
praising God for the massive amount of money, the greatness, the wonderfulness, but actually we're in
real, aren't you?
You've got to be real.
You've got to be real, and a real praying, fervent,
crying church
man or woman frightens the life out of the enemy. It really does.
He can't stand. Because
he can't stand.
He can't stand against a praying church individual, because when you pray the Lord's Prayer, it's not actually our words; it's the words of the Eternal God. So if you pray that Lord's Prayer, you are not praying the human prayer. You are praying the eternal prayer of the eternal God.
And brothers and sisters, there will be distractions. There will be distractions, because things will come in. You know, we've been around the block. This is not our first rodeo, that is for sure. So you know that as soon as you get on your knees, the phone will go, or the kids will start crying, or something will happen. There will be distractions. You may even fall asleep. That these things happen.
They happen.
Because if we've got an enemy going, hold on a minute.
Hang on.
Don't like the route he's taking, because, you know,
He's
getting biblical, he's getting strong, he's getting strengthened.
He's believing. He's
throwing a distraction.
She's believing.
Things come in your head, you think, where has that come from?
How could I have thought that?
Hand it over to the Lord. Hand it over. Take it.
Remove it, Lord.
Lord, and that's all you have to pray. You don't have to go into a big thing. You just say, Lord, your word says that I can cast this down and bring it towards the cross. So just cast it out of the way. But come back to the word, come back and concentrate on the power of, because prayer works, Ben. Prayer works.
100%.
And if you're not a praying man or woman, you're an easy target for the enemy. That's the sure. That is,
and then the
truth.
Thing is once you start praying in the word, realize you become highlighted. So it's like an upside down thing. When you're not praying, it's dangerous, and when you are praying, the enemy looks at you and goes, "That they're dangerous. They're dangerous because they're starting to pray the word." And if you wanted to stretch it a little bit further, if you went to Psalm 23, if you take the six verses of Psalm 23, you could bring that very easily into your prayer life. When you pray that, Lord, even though I go through the valley, Lord, you're my shepherd. Lord, I thank you that you're my shepherd. And when I go through the valley of darkness, Lord, you're my light. You're the light of my salvation. You know, you could get Psalm 23, you get the Lord's Prayer, and you can mix that together. So you're actually reading. You're reading the word.
There's a great Psalm there, 23.
Yeah.
And if you want another one, Psalm 91.
Goodness.
Is a powerful prayer for protection, because there's your protection in the word of God, isn't
so
it,
if ben? You take them three scriptures, you've got the New Testament, you've got two in the Old, so you've got the Lord's Prayer in the New, you've got Psalm 23, Psalm 91, and if you study those three texts, if you spent the rest of your life just looking at those texts but praying them daily, and you prayed them in the Holy Spirit, you are going to see such transformations in your life. So I don't actually need another prayer rain book. I don't need another word from pastor. I don't need another manual from Bill Johnson. I don't need another this, that. All I need is a Bible. I need a Bible, Simon.
See, look what it says, Ben, in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Ben, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in
everything
by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So there's a peace in the prayer, isn't there, Ben?
There's a power in prayer. There's peace in prayer.
Power in the prayer.
There's stillness in prayer. There's change in prayer. You're on the potter's wheel. You're in the master's hands. And there's nowhere best to be is to be in the master's hands, to be shaped by the master, to be shaped and molded into the man and the woman he wants you to be. So prayer takes you to the cross. The cross holds you in that place. You know, the cross wipes everything away. And when you realize who you are, suddenly, if you was to take Psalm 23, Psalm 91, the Lord's Prayer, and you was to print them off, and to have them in your workspace, have them in your locker at work, have them in your school, wherever you are, your rucksack, you know, put them on your phone, put them on your notes, you know, get them three
on the tablet of your heart, it says, doesn't it, Ben?
Get them on the tablet of your heart. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. suddenly your life will change. Suddenly the atmosphere, suddenly you'll become alert. Suddenly you'll become that man and that woman that God has called you to be. Why? Because you are giving the word to the word, and his word cannot return void. But as soon as I flick open the prayer rain book and I start going through the mantra of witchcraft and all that,
it becomes chanting, Ben, and becomes impersonal.
Yeah,
I think it becomes impersonal. I when I started reading those prayers, I thought, I don't feel the connection with my Heavenly Father through this. Feel the connection when I just go, Father, I love you, or Father,
help me,
help me, just Father, will you let this happen, or be with me when I'm doing this. I feel that connection.
That's
but
right.
When I'm reading this prayer out and going, I'll call out the blood of Jesus to bind this
do this at 6 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
It's a rant, and I don't personally, for me, that's, and I know it's the same for you, it doesn't,
I think, work. It goes a bit more than personally, it goes against scripture. Goes against scripture. So the references that we've got today for prayer is very, very clear, very, very important. The reference that we need is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. That's the Lord's Prayer. Psalm 91 and Psalm 23. If you get them and you mix them and you line by line and you study that and you pray that and you just not reciting it, we're not talking about getting it to, it's a robotic action. We're talking about getting it on the heart, getting it on the tablet and start praying the word. God's word cannot return void, because he has to accomplish. He has to, because that's his promise. But when I'm praying in man's way, I'm not praying the word of God.
No, you're not praying the word of God.
So God has no responsibility, because I'm not in that word. But when I pray that word,
it's very true, and it's a great point, because our Heavenly Father does not have to finish anything he hasn't started.
And he hasn't started that prayer.
If he hasn't started that prayer, what is that? It's just like words, isn't it? Nonsense. You know, Ben.
I tell you what, it's making me really think. It's making me go quiet for the first time ever. When you think Psalm 23, Psalm 91, Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, verses 9 to 13. Do you know what?
It's all in there. Because
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this myself.
It's all in there, Ben, because even in Psalm 91, it tells us about the angels, doesn't it? That are there to protect us, and when we reference that in biblical reference, we can go back to Daniel 10, which says, you know, there was an angel sent to fulfill the prayers, but that was stopped. The angel was stopped in a battle in the heavenlies with
that's another thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if the church isn't praying scripturally, you know, the devil's got it.
Oh, he's got it.
When there is unity in prayer through the word of God, suddenly the spiritual warfare, but the battle belongs to the Lord.
Well, it strengthens the prayer of an earnest Christian.
Righteous person.
It strengthens the angels. It strengthens, because they've got something to hang on to then, because, you know, if you've got a church that it's not praying, well, there's nothing there for them.
No. So isn't it interesting, Simon, that you haven't got to be in the building to be in prayer? Yeah, it's great to go, because the scripture says, you know, as often as you can, fellowship to one another, you know, help one another. We get what that says, but more over than that, that you can be anywhere in the world. You can be anywhere, and you can be in prayer.
And the great thing about it is you can pray to our Heavenly Father about whatever comes on your heart, and he'll receive it. I mean, it doesn't have to be and especially, you know, Lord, who do you want me to speak to today? That's a great prayer.
Help me, Lord. Put someone in
prayers,
my path.
Two prayers which will make you a dangerous but exciting Christian.
Amen.
Those words that don't go together too much are strip me back, Father.
Ooh.
And we've prayed that prayer. But Lord, who do you want me to speak to today? And as we come to land here today, Ben, I just want to reference a story that a mate of mine told me. He's a police officer in the diplomatic group in London. So he stands on on diplomatic places. He does a lot down at number 10 Downing Street, and he's armed, fully armed and whatever. But he's a Christian man, and he's always telling us, oh, I'll share my faith with this guy, because he's on these things for hours on end, and there's just two of them then standing
just
there
chatting.
Just chatting. So he says, and they all know I'm a Christian, and he gets various responses, and because he prays about it and prays, who shall I speak to? Well, someone left his church and went to join a church in a place called Suffolk, which is outside of London. And a guy came in, who was a police officer, came into this church and started going to the church, and then eventually got baptised. And the man approached him and he said, I've got a police officer in London. He said, well, I used to work in London. He said, he's mentioned the name. He said, well, I know that guy. He was the one who first started me off on this faith.
Amazing.
Path. And so he phoned up my mate, and my mate's on. The story gets even better, because my mate's on the search hut at 10 Downing Street, where they search the guys or women, everyone who comes in before they go through to 10 Downing Street. And he's on that one night, and the other night, just, and this same fella that was the police officer transferred from the Met.
Praise God.
Walked in and said, I was just passing by, I seen you in there. He said, I want to tell you, you know, I've now gone on with my faith, and I've just been baptised. He said, but it was you who started me off on this road. And my mate rang me up, he said, I've got to speak to someone. And he was in tears. He said, I've spoken to hundreds of people, but I never knew one person, but now I know one. So what we're saying here, Ben, is to continue to pray, because...
Don't give up.
Well, don't give up, because very quickly there was a guy that owned a gold mine in the gold rush in San Francisco and whatever back in the day, and he'd got some gold, but then he kept digging and kept digging, couldn't find any gold, he'd give it up. Somebody bought it, and 3 feet further down was the biggest. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
if we
don't give up.
Don't give up.
Keep Hallelujah.
Praying, keep praying, keep praying. Because
you will know the truth.
And the truth will set you free.
God bless. We'll see you soon. Take care.